Well, I want to open up this evening talking about the love of God. I want us to look at John 13 and verses 34 and 35. And this is, I guess you could say, this is our marching orders. this is our commandment. You know, when you get a command, those are your marching orders. And this is from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. As they say, this is red letter here. In the King James, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Boy, this is strong right here. "As I have loved you." So he gives us here how we're to love. "That you also love one another." And then in the Passion Translation, you know, I think sometimes when we look at different translations, it sheds a little light. It says, "So I give unto you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you." And then verse 35, it says, "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers." So it's not going to be our praying in tongues or our, you know, our faith walk. It says right here, you're going to have to walk by faith, even in the area of love. But this says here, you're going to have to demonstrate the same love that he has for us by loving one another. And when we do that, it said, everyone will know that you are my, in the King James, it says disciples. This says here, your true followers. But when he says that we're to love as he loved, that just means even as or in the same way or the same manner, you could say. So we can love because why? We have his nature now. We've been born again. And scriptures that bear that out in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. You know, we used to sing this song years ago, this scripture verses. But 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now that word love is a verb. That's not a noun. This is here. Let us love, agapeo. That means we're to do something here. It says, when we love one another, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth, it's an action there, is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth, it's an action again, that's agapeo. And not, it says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And the Living Bible of this verse here, I like this. It says, "Dear friends, let us practice loving each other. For love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they are getting to know him better." So we have to demonstrate or practice, you could say, loving each other. And this love comes from God. So we have this love in us. And 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because," why? "Because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So love, we see from the scripture, comes from God, and it's in us. We have to let it out. We've got to practice and demonstrate it. Now, I wanted to look at, and you know, before we delve a little further into this lesson, we want to look at and read 1 Corinthians 13. This is God's revealed, you could say, definition of love to who? The Apostle Paul. He received this revelation from God through his Spirit. But I want to read this. First, I want to read this in the Passion Translation. And I'm just adding each lesson. I want to look at a different translation. But the Passion Translation, starting in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Now, I want to read this. Some of you may know who Jack Hayford is. He's still, I believe, still alive. And this is the Hayford translation. I'm just going to read this. It says, love, in verses 4 through 8, it says, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. Glory to God. And then I want us to just look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. So we looked at this on Sunday. In the King James, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then we're going to look at the New Living and the Message and the Amplified of this verse. It says, the New Living says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Then the Message translation of verse 1. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts of God gives. Most of all, try to proclaim it's His truth. And then lastly, the Amplified. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. See, that we need to follow after, or this says here, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. And we read on Sunday from Rick Renner's book. We referenced a paragraph there in his book called Sparkling Gems. And he said the word follow, when it says follow after charity, this word follow in the Greek means to hotly pursue. And he goes on to say it was like a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally gets it. He said this means that attaining this high level of love doesn't come easy. If we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and aim of our lives. And so we all know we're at different levels of growth in our love walk, and we all have not reached or attained that level of, you could say, perfection in that area, but you've got to pursue it. You've got to add daily to your life. You've got to feed upon the Word of God and pursue it so that what? It will change your thinking. It will begin to change your heart. And as I've shared, I've been sharing this for at least a year and a half, more, I'm reading 1 Corinthians 13 at least once a day, most times twice. I read it first thing in the morning and the last thing before I sleep. And so it's, you know, by feeding on that, you open your heart up to what? The Word of God. And the Word of God begins to change your thinking, and your heart and your mind begin to work in unity. And so those things that maybe you know, as they say, you got away with or you did, the Holy Ghost will begin to, or the Word will begin to check you in certain ways and say, that wasn't right. And it'll begin to change you so that you'll begin to do what? Reflect His nature more and more. And so the way that we reach that place of walking in the love of God is to do what? Meditate in the Word of God. This is what Joshua 1:8 is. If you want to be successful in areas of your life, you're going to have to do what? Let not that book of the law depart out of your mouth. Observe to do it. Meditate in it day and night, and you'll do what? You'll make your way successful. So, and that means in this area also. So in 1 Peter 4:8, in the King James, it says that above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And the Amplified of that verse says something a little similar. It says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. So this is different than the ways world. Or you could say in Romans, it says for the wages, well, let me just read this here. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 6, I believe it is, it says for the wages to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we need to be what? Spiritually minded. How are we going to become spiritually minded? Even in this area of our love walk, we're going to have to feed upon the Word of God. And we're going to have to allow the Word into our hearts, and it'll begin to show us how we can and empower us to walk in the love of God. Now, I'm going to read John 14:21. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation, and in verses 21 through 23. at John 14. And I like this, you know, when we talk about, so often people will say, well, you know, that's fine for you to say, I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, but I sure have a hard time doing that. Well, we're going to show you, some, you know, again, as we walk through the scriptures, that if you are born again, you can love. Now, you have to choose to do that, and your flesh will rebel. Your flesh, you have to, I'm going to share something here that Brother Hagin said at the end of his life, before he went to heaven. But John 14 in the Passion Translation, verse 21, it says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. So what was his command that we read at the beginning of this lesson? That we're to, his command was to walk in love, to love one another as he loved us. And it says that you also love one another, and by this shall all men know that we are his disciples. So here, this is saying those that truly love me are those who do what? Obey that command. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. He's telling you that you're passionately loved when you obey his commandments. And then it goes on, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest, well, I love this, he will manifest his life within you. And we got done reading on Sunday that his love is life eternal. So when you begin to love like he loved, when you obey his commands here, this says here, he will manifest his life within you. Or you could say he will manifest his love within you. But you're going to have to do what? This is operating in the love of God. This is operating in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith operates in the love of God when somebody is not operating in love towards you. You operate in the love of God towards those who are unkind and unlovely. And this says here, when you obey his command, this says here that you will be passionately loved by my Father, and this says, goes on, and I, meaning Jesus, I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you, or you could say his love within you. Verse 22, then one of the disciples named Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it that you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you. Boy, I tell you, jot this down right here. Loving me, now what did we say loving him was? Obeying his commands. So he said, loving me empowers you to obey my word. So there it is right there. You are going to have to love when you don't feel like it. But when you do, you will be empowered to obey the word, which means to love. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. Wow. Isn't that something? So he will unveil himself in the word of God. He will reveal and manifest himself to you. He will manifest, in this case here, it says, he will manifest his life within you. Now, something Brother Hagin shared, Kenneth E. Hagin, before he passed and went to heaven, he spent a good amount of time teaching on the love of God before he left this earth, even though he focused on faith. And he said this. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians every day. He went on to say that if you read 1 Corinthians every day and walk or obey, walk in the love of God or the God kind of love, he said that, number one, you will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. He said, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. Because why? You're submitting, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee, as James. And number three, he said, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you have been believing for will come. So again, the word of God has the power in it to produce what it demands. So we need to decide that we're going to walk in the love of God no matter what anybody else does. So this is what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, go ahead and act like, in other words, go and act like it, act in the love of God, even though you don't feel like it. He said, in other words, go ahead and act like you love the person because you really do. It's your flesh that wants to fight and get in the way, as they say. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 in the King James, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have the love of God that's been shed abroad in there. And I like some of these other translations. This is the Jordan translation. It says, for God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Spirit he provided us. And the Blackwelder translation, it says, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. So the love of God is working in us. We've got to yield to it. So you know what happens? Your mind and your flesh go, I'm not loving that person. I want to give them a piece of my mind, or I want to do some bodily harm, as they say, to somebody, or just tell them off. But that's your flesh. That's your carnal nature trying to yield to that, and you need to do what? Override that. Let the love of God that's in it, in your heart, come out and act in or demonstrate the love of God. John 15, in the Passion Translation, and this is what I wanted to share, you know, in these last few minutes here, that'll help us. In John 15, in the Passion Translation, starting in verse 9, it says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. See, we need to walk away with the sense that God loves me, and Jesus, this says here, I love you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and what? Empowered by his love. That's what we just got done reading in John 14. When it said that when we love, it says here, he says, I will passionately love you in return and manifest my life within you. So this goes on in verse 11. It says, my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Verse 12, so this is my command. This is our marching order here again. This is Jesus speaking. Love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all, and this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. I've never called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And then this goes on, and it says, and your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it you. So he reiterates this again in verse 17. So this is my parting command, love one another deeply. Now, you know, there's so many different uses of that word deeply. And so just some synonyms of that. It means entirely. It means fully. That means when you say you love someone fully, that means there's nothing left out or left off, is that? It means completely. These are synonyms. Excessively, exceedingly, substantially. So that means to the full. And so when we look at this, 1 Peter 4:8, in the Amplified, it says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. And then the Message translation of this 1 Peter 4:8, I like this also. It says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Wow. Love makes up for practically anything. So we need to think about that when we get up in the morning, you need to make affirmations, you know, that we need to make statements of faith that the love of God is in me, and it's working in me, and I choose to walk in love this day. And the more you begin to confess that and act upon that, what do? The power of God is what? Released within us. Well, what did we read in John 14? He said, Jesus said, I will manifest myself. The King James says, I will manifest myself to you. But then in the Passion Translation, it says, I will manifest my life to you, or his love. Now let's look at the New Living Translation of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 in the New Living. And it says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Now, verse 17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. So you're going to have to trust in him to help you walk in the love of God as you trust in him. And then it says here what? Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work in us, or within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. So as we trust in him, and this here, what is Paul doing? He said, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, and I pray that from his glorious and unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So Paul is praying this prayer for who? For those in the Ephesians church, the church of Ephesus. And so here we can pray that prayer not only for someone else, we can pray that for ourselves. Father, I pray that you strengthen and empower me with inner strength by your Spirit. I trust you this day to walk in the love of God by faith. And this goes on as we do, this says here, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Hallelujah. So this is going to take an effort on our part. Now listen to some of these translations. This is the Laubach translation of verse 17 of Ephesians 3. It said, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of his love. Glory to God. And the Living Bible, it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And then the God's Word translation, it says, I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. What should we have our foundation on? The love of God. And our faith will operate in the love of God. Glory to God. So one thing that I wanted to share as we close this lesson up here this evening, we see how, and just go back, we can see how we've received the love of God. We have that, we have his very nature because we've become a brand new person in Christ. We've been born again. And when we did, God gave us his command, you could say his marching orders for us. And we've looked down through the scriptures to see that it needs to be our utmost aim or quest in life or focus. Now, you might say, well, that's all well and good, but, and we just got done reading here in Ephesians that you can pray that prayer, pray that every day. Pray that that becomes your daily prayer, that he empowers you with his inner strength through his Spirit. But I would make one comment here, and this is a scripture we need to look at here. Let's look at Jude. Verses 20 and 21. Only one chapter, but this is verse 20 and 21. And this will help us another way to strengthen us, to help us walk in the love of God. And when you look at verse 20 and 21, it's in the King James, it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we're familiar, or most are, but look at verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in what? The love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So this says here, we need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keep yourselves in the love of God. Let's look at this in the Amplified translation. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, right? Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. Now look at verse 21. It says, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which brings you unto eternal life. There's another translation, the Weymouth translation. It says, keep yourselves safe in the love of God. So this is our safe place, is in the love of God. And we're to let the roots of our faith go dig deep into the foundation of God's love, which has been shed abroad in our hearts. So the way that we can stay built up on our most holy faith, which is what? The roots of our faith have grown down into the foundation of God's love, then we need to do what? Pray more in the Spirit. You know, when you find yourself having a problem or difficulty walking in love towards individuals, pray in the Spirit more. Pray in other tongues. Make more time to pray in the Spirit. And what will happen? It will stir up in you the love of God. It will stir up spiritual things inside of you. And so we will begin to do what? Stir up the spiritual side of us instead of that carnal side. And so that carnal nature of yours, if you don't meditate on spiritual things, you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you're going to lean more towards that carnal side of yourself. And what does the scripture say? The carnal man is enmity with God, for it can't please God. So we need to think about that. And I just share those thoughts this evening that, you know, a way is to pray this prayer in Ephesians daily. Pray that you pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will do what? Empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Obey his word. Act upon the love of God, which is what we were sharing in John 14. In John 14, it says here again in verse 21, it says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And then it says, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. So this is, you know, just some tips or hints, help from the Word of God to help us strengthen this love walk. I can tell you this, that it's not going to get any lighter. It's darker, and people's passions and their base nature is being displayed more and more today. They're talking and biting and devouring. That's what Matthew 24 talked about, that in this end time, people are going to be biting on one another. Well, we don't need to flow with that. We don't need to express ourselves in that way. We need to express ourselves with what? The love of God. So as we meditate in 1 Corinthians 13, as we do what? As we pray Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 16 and 17, and we pray in the Holy Ghost, the nature of God is going to flood from our hearts, and the glory of God and the life of God and those things that will minister and bless those that are struggling in this world will flow from us like a mighty river. And so I would just share, you know, this message titled this evening was Love One Another Deeply. And so the way we're going to do that is following these scriptural principles in the Word of God, and we will be able to do that. Glory to God. So I trust you got a little something from that. Go back and listen to it again and again and feed upon it. Let the Word of God into your heart and meditate upon it. And act upon those things in the Word of God, and it'll change. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that your Word is life and light to us. And we commit to walk in the love of God. We commit to let our lives be a demonstration of the love of God to this dying earth and world. And we thank you that you're raising up an army of those that will walk in the supernatural power of God, and its foundation will be on the love of God. and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we receive our offering, I would just extend this invitation to those that might be watching, that if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never confessed him as your Savior and believed that he was raised from the dead, and you do believe that, but you just haven't confessed it, this is your opportunity. Maybe you did that. Maybe you've gotten away from God. Maybe you've gotten away from him, and you need to rededicate your life. Here's your opportunity. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I come to you humbly, and I confess with my mouth that you are my Savior. You are the Savior of the world. I believe that you were raised from the dead, and I thank you that you paid for my sins. I thank you that they're paid for, and I now receive you as my Savior. I believe that I've been washed supernaturally by the blood of Jesus, and my heart has been cleansed. It is brand new. Make something new of me in the name of Jesus. And I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you did that and you meant that from your heart and you don't ever recall doing that, or you recommitted your life, let us know. Give us a heads up that you did that. You can either send something in by mail, write us, or by email. They're putting some information up, or call us 845-623-9300, and we'll send you some information as to who you've become in Christ. Glory to God. And we rejoice in Jesus' name. Glory to God.